This conference is being recorded.
The text in Genesis are very hard to get around in chapter 2 in reference to the reference of
right.
I mean, that to me, those are very powerful references that you just can't get around.
All right, the script, I mean, the recording has started.
Okay.
We're up for the recording. Okay. All right. Now, as we talked about people of color in the Bible, and as we have looked at the idea of what is actually causing our dilemma or our problem, many people are at the stage of thinking that, well, I guess there's not much we can do. But last week we found out that there's a few things that we can do and that there's a order of criteria. And in reference to that, last week we talked about the tie between health, history, and our spiritual walk. And so what we want to look at, we were going to try to amplify that area again, because we never got down to Ezekiel. We had just got to the second quote where it talks about, in fact, it is a sequel to slavery. It has been made possible by our system of miseducating innocent people who do not know what was happening. And most of us really have no clue of what's going on the physical, mental, and spiritual warfare that we're fighting. And now we have what they call biochemical warfare through the food. Okay. So when we are talking, and sometimes we are, through our diet, we help perpetuate the slavery or the, as I would try to reframe it, the our mind or our willpower being held under the control of someone else. And that's what becomes dangerous. Some of us think that it is important for us to submit our will to another. And right now the way it's set up is that us as a people, we have submitted our will unto another race of people who is in charge of our spiritual walk. And if you look at the top of all its groups and spiritualities or religions and so forth, you find them at the top. Then they write the curriculum in our schools, so now they're also in charge of our education. And we think all of this is cool, too. That's where the worst part about it is. Then when we come to our eating and our eating habits, we have picked up the slave master's eating habits, such that now we find ourselves, rather than knowing what we've been called to from the beginning of time, from Adam, from the beginning that Yahweh has created man on the earth, we find ourselves in a position that we love. We love that someone else is running all of these different things for us. But we don't like the results. Right, we don't like the results, but this is where we find ourselves. And so when we are awakened to the reality of what's really happening around us in all of these different levels, mental, physical, spiritual levels, then we have two choices. We can either, you know, sit back and say, oh my goodness, what is going on? Well, why is this happening? And don't do anything about it. And say, I've heard people who have told me, well, what can we do about it? Told me there's nothing we can do about it anyway. I said, well, what do you mean there ain't nothing you can do about it? As long as you're living, there's something you can do about anything that you want. But that's the mentality, I think, the way Dick Gregory put it, is that we're dumbed down such that we can't move. We feel like we're unable. It's like a slave. the slaves realizing that, hey, I'm in a whole nother country. I don't know the terrain. I don't know anything. And I'm sort of like stuck here. I can't swim across the ocean. And so there's really nothing I can do. Now, in that situation, yeah, you're really in a lockdown situation. But the key was that some would still have the audacity to run. I might not know where I'm running, but I know I'm running from this. I know I'm not going to stay in this condition, no matter even if I can't figure my way out. And so you had those group of people, and then you had the other groups that were saying, well, it's really not all that bad. Matter of fact, right. You know, some of it is, you know, hey. And so these are the stages that we find ourselves in, such that we can get to the point that innocently we are saying, as it said here, it has been made possible by our system of miseducating innocent people who do not know what is happening, what's happening to them, or what's happening around them. It is so subtle that men have participated in promoting it without knowing what they were doing. And so when we say, okay, there's nothing we can do about it, and we just stay in our sleep, because that's what it is, we're just like asleep, like the 10 virgins the Bible talks about, that all the 10 virgins slept. Most people think it was just the wise that stayed awake, and the foolish went to sleep, but that was not true. And so we find ourselves in a state of sleeping, and once we awake, we have two choices. We can go back to sleep, as some would say, we can take the blue pill and go back to sleep, or we can stay awake with the red pill and stay awake. But now that once we stay awake, now we have decisions we have to make. There's choices we have to do. When if you're asleep, you're just dreaming. I think about it when many people say that we're doing the work. We're saving the world. Oh, yeah, man, so many people are becoming Christians. Oh, man, do you know this is revival? And I'm saying, wait, revival into what? Into another phase of sleeping? But they are dreaming, and that's the whole point. They are dreaming, and they believe in your dream you're doing the work in your dream. Yeah, but remember, you're still dreaming, but this dream...
You're dreaming, and it's still real.
Right, and usually most of us, when we dream, we don't know if we're dreaming or if it's real until we wake up. But if you never wake up, you never knew it was a dream. And that's where we find ourselves. And so Yahweh has given a special design in his plan to actually free us. Now, we talked two weeks ago about last day events. We talked explicitly about last day events, and to accept the last day events that we actually living in the last days, not that the last days began in 1844 or began, you know, way back or whatever. No. So, I mean, all them people dead. So if they dead, that wasn't last day. The last days is just what the Bible says, the last days, or as the Bible puts it, the last generation that will live on the earth. And so when to accept that viewpoint over the established viewpoint, which is taught by so many places, we have to let Yahweh be able to open up our minds clearly, because every wind of doctrine is blowing, and the fog is so deep, and the smoke and mirror game that's being run is so sophisticated that there's no way we're going to be able to see through all this. And so he has designed a way such that, because Yahweh says that we communicate through him, through our nervous system, through our electrical impulses that he has put in us. And as we actually communicate him through that, they know that. And so Lucifer has determined that the best way to keep everybody asleep is real simple. All we're going to do is give them food and stuff that will block, which will benumb their minds so that they can't communicate, and he cannot communicate with them in a clear way. And so we're going to look at some of that today, because when we talked about it last week, we talked about a threefold tie of how this book is trying to tie all this together. So we see the social engineering, which is we talk about for at least 150 years that has been going on. And then it says here at the bottom, well, let me just read this paragraph here. This is a self-perpetuating system of control. Now, there's a lot of words we just said. Self-perpetuating, that means it just feeds off itself. So we get one generation to train the next generation. We change the next generation, and it's like, okay, we don't, now, the people who have mastered this can just stand off and say, okay, we don't need the KKK no more. We got the brothers shooting each other. Hey, say, we got them lynching each other, so we don't need that no more. We got others that can help, that they will be scared to even teach what is truth. And all we got to do is make sure that we have an accredited system. And an accredited system of education would mean that, hey, if you don't send your children to accredited school, they're not going to get a good education. And they won't be able to go to college. And they won't be able to get a high school degree. And they won't be able to get a job. And so they got this whole long list. But now if we look at it, the education that is being presented in private and public school is failed. So if they fail, you should be glad that you don't have to go to an accredited school, because the accredited schools are what's failing. And so this is where Yahweh has opened the door these last days to say, hey, look at these accredited schools, private and public, they don't work. So people are now trying to create charter schools, create new different things, and so this is a perfect opportunity for us to introduce these type of materials and a whole nother curriculum to actually address us in another dimension. And so this is, so as we actually see the failure, and that's what it's saying there, this is a self-perpetuating system of control that has hijacked true education and replaced it with miseducation. So now, if there's a such thing as true education, then there has to be its counterfeit, which is miseducation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we know that the masses are being miseducated, and it says they use accreditation and their curriculum system to enslave people's minds. So if we can create our own curriculum, that's the key. We have to do something. So once we awaken, we just can't just say, okay, I got it. No. Uh-uh. We have to create our own curriculum system. That's the only way that we can so that true education can now be introduced to the masses of the people. Now,
we also have prepared that with this curriculum that many people are going to reject it.
Oh, that's not the issue.
It's going
to
be...
Yeah, no. Okay, but see, there's phases to it. You have to create a curriculum first before you can introduce it to them. So we got some groundworking work to do. I mean, we can talk to them about different things, but even after we go through different things, unless there's a school, unless there's a curriculum, unless there's books, unless there's material to train the teachers of how to teach the material, because they can't teach it the way they've been teaching it. So we're talking about there has to be a whole education of our own. And that's why we have the People of Color Training and Research Institute. That's all we do. All the stuff that you see up here on this site, it's only designed for the new curriculum, nothing else. But I need help, and there's a lot more curriculum we can be building. There's a lot more books. We got videos out there. We got books to help train the teachers. But now we have to engulf it on another level so that when we have this curriculum, that then we can tell those, because a lot of people now are saying, well, since you ain't learning nothing in school, I'm homeschooling. I said, good, I'm glad, that's good. Because now that you can homeschool, you can use our curriculum. Being a school system, it's going to try to be a little hard, but if you're homeschooling, yeah, you can use this as part of it. And so, but the key is, unless you can see why you need the homeschool, it's worthless. Now, I've run across people who say that they're homeschooling, they don't even have an education. And they can't even teach algebra. They can't even teach half the courses. And I'm saying, well, you need to send them to the regular school. Well, listen, You can't teach them. I mean, you're going to make them worse. So at least let them go there so that you can get some foundation. But, you know, so anyway, so there's a whole thing that we have to develop. And as we try to develop the replacement curriculum, I guess that's what we could call it, the replacement curriculum of the accreditation from Yahweh. Now, there's two people I know that gone to that school and passed. And one was called John the Baptist. All the prophets went to that school. And they all graduated with high grades, such that they stunned the world.
Yeah.
And so that's what we have to be able to see. Now, we know we can't use the Eurocentric viewpoint. And that's going to be our first dilemma, because that's the only one that has been given to the masses. Okay. And then it says here, this creates a mental and spiritual slavery we find ourselves in today is equal to and somewhat worse than the slavery of our forefathers, a little less than 150 years ago. Now, that's 150 years ago, we're talking about 160, what are we talking about? We're talking about what? If we got 40 years to a generation, we're talking about four generations. That's all we're talking about. This all became possible under our system of learning and education, which is a reality, the miseducations of the masses through social engineering. Now, we have to as we introduce new education, true education, then the people are going to be brought to a confrontation. Now, what I'm finding out also is that the young people see what I just said. It's the old folk that don't see this. The young people see this clear as day. And a lot of them say, I don't go to church. I said, why don't you go to church? Because, man, come on, man, it's a joke. I said, what do you mean by that? Oh, man, they just in there for money, man. They just in there doing this. And plus the stuff we learn ain't worth nothing. I said, I said, you're right. You have awakened. You are awake. But what's the alternative? I don't know the alternative. You don't know the that you know you do what I need to see. Because we have been creating the alternative since the 1990s. And so this is what the young people and the people that are going to finish the work are looking for. Now, the key was, if we try to reach the churches, that's not going to work. Because the churches have been, I mean, this is what we're talking about. The churches and the state. The state and the church has decided that we have to socially engineer people. We will socially engineer people by teaching propaganda. So those that are, you only get it through the education system and not through the education backed up by the church, are freer to see and to be utilized more by Yahweh. Now, some people might not like that, but that's still the fact. Okay, because remember, when we come to a light of this, the first thing we have to do is be unprogrammed. See, the more we're programmed, the harder it is for us to be unprogrammed. So that's why the older you are, the deeper the programming is. That's why in the Matrix they mention that usually after you reach a certain age, we don't pull you out no more. Because it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm trying to get us to see. That's exactly where we are.
And
so,
then you have those, and then you have those, like the one guy who took the red pill, but then got in and then killed a few folks because he wanted to go back to the Matrix.
That is correct. We do have infiltrators. Remember, you had Judas. You can always have infiltrators so that they can try to stop the work. But as you know, Yahweh's ahead of the helm. You know, all of those different things are going to happen. So as we can see here, as the young people, and then it says it trains innocent people to get degrees, and those who do not really know what is happening to them until it is way too late. Now that's why in the beginning, as the young people see it, they have to be. Okay, because once the young people see it, they have a few alternatives. They say, okay, the young people are seeing through this. What else can we do? They're not going to go to our churches, so they say, hey, let's push drugs. Hey, let's get gangs. hey, let's get these other alternatives to start getting our young people. And so we, now that's what we have to compete against, real. We're not really competing against the church because they don't want no part of it. We got to compete and get the young people to see that, hey, you guys, okay, I agree with you. So a lot of the things that's being taught is incorrect. But hey, can't we go through the book and start trying to re-understand it from an Afro, I don't want to call it an Afrocentric because it's not an Afrocentric, it's a holistic viewpoint of the Bible. The way that it was originally intended for us to look at. Now, and I think some of them will say, hey, I never thought about that. And so that's why I'm trying to get some of them on this line, on to be in this class. Because I believe that some of them, if they hear it, they can say, hey, we're on board. And hey, and I can get other young people on board because we see what you say. Now, a lot of older people cannot, you know, I mean, won't become part of these classes. And we just got to accept that because of the social engineering that has been for so long. Then it says, after you receive the degree, okay, innocently, okay, after receiving so many degrees in education, we hate to hear and find out that we are part of the problem. And I put in that word innocently because we didn't know that's where it was taking us. Now, some of us, once we reach that point, we will say, "Hey, I'm still going to go against." No, and some of them tell me point blank, "If I accept your viewpoint, if I accept this, and I see this as miseducation, do you know that's my whole life." I mean, hey, I might not even be able to, you know. And I said, hey, I understand. You do have a hard dilemma. That's why young people are at a better advantage because they don't have, they have not dedicated their whole life to this thing. So that's why they can say, hey, let's jump off this ship quick, or let's change tracks quick, because we know where that train is going. And so the young people say yes, and the old people say yes. We know where the train is going. We don't like where it's going. But there's nothing we can do. What the young people are saying,
scared to get off.
Yeah, that's why they say there's nothing they can do. That's right, they're too scared. And the young people are saying, well, since I haven't, you know, donated my whole life to this thing, hey, I got my whole life in front of me. Yeah, let's try this new track. We know where that track is going, so we really don't want that track. So let's see if this other track, as this alternative track to true education, will really be able to help. Then it says, most are not conscious enough to figure out how to get out of this present-day dilemma. So even though the young people see it, they still don't know how to get out of it because they got these other things that are out there to grab them. And so what? And then it says, right, we have been called by Yahweh to be watchmen on the wall of Zion. Then there's Ezekiel 33. 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Now that's interesting. He says to the house of Israel. He didn't say to the all these different denominations and churches. Yeah. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth. Now see, the catch is, if we don't hear the word at his mouth, then how can we warn them from who? Did y'all see that part?
From Yahweh.
Yeah, but most of us are always thinking that we go warn us from somebody else. No. It says it clear as day. Therefore, thou, because we don't hear the word, that's what actually happens to us. Now, next one says, in conclusion, this book was written to enlighten our conscience and understanding of people. So that's what our goal is, to enlighten the young people. Their bulb is already going off. And so now we're trying to give them understanding. Now, this is not related to just race, because we deal with all races need to be educated. All races have been miseducated. We're not talking about different denominations, creeds. Whichever creed you're in, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Whichever color you are, and whatever religious affiliation. So that can be Protestant, Baptist, Muslim, we don't care, Hindu, anybody. Anybody that wants to hear the truth and wants to follow it, that's what we are trying to do, so that people don't think that we're just trying to do one thing. This book introduces new terms, and so those are some of the things we're going to need to define, the new terms and new concepts which will change our thinking. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to change the thinking from the social engineering of miseducation to a freedom of mind. We will be using these terms and concepts throughout this book to help us get familiar with some of the original names and terms in the Bible. And then we know the first ones that we talk about is Yahweh and Yeshua and Elohim. Now, most people didn't know that Yahweh, is the Father, and some people didn't know that Elohim is what God means, and there's no J's inside of the alphabet. So then it can never be Jehovah.
There's a lot of people who know. It's once again, it's the whole acceptance thing. Because,
yeah.
I mean, this has always been an issue for me. The whole name issue has constantly been an issue for me. I mean, I'm constantly being told that it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter what we call him, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. And like I said to you before, anytime someone says to me, it doesn't matter, a red flag goes up.
Yep,
because
these
I'm
are
like,
the innocent.
Okay.
Yep, these are the innocent
it
people.
It doesn't matter. Right.
Right, so these
are
innocent people. Right, these are innocent people propagating. Right, all they're doing is propagating what they've been told. That's all. They don't think for themselves, and that's the whole problem.
I was the same way.
All of us. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll mirror reflections of other men's thoughts. Now, the key is. And I want us to go back one, and we want to get under, there's a new section I put up under chapter 1. And this is talking about will, under chapter 1, which is Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden on page, it says, will Elohim or God have a perfected people? So if you go back one, you should be at the table of contents. Once you're at the table of contents,
mm-hmm.
You go past preface, introduction, and under chapter 1, the first section is there, Elohim, where Elohim perfect God's people. So if we click on that, which is underlined, we come to the perfecting of a people. And that's where we are.
Wait a minute. Will he have a perfected people? That
yes.
One?
Yep. Everybody click on that.
Okay.
It should be underlined, and it should send you to an area that says the perfecting of a people.
Right.
Okay. Now, under the perfecting of a people, mm-hmm. We had talked before last week the mental, physical, and spiritual aspect. Now, we also found out that the Bible is a classical African book because the Hebrew is a dialect of the Canaanite language, when Canaan was the son of Ham, so we know that those are classical Africans. So the Bible is written in a classical African language, and the only way we'll understand it is to try to understand it in the context of how it was created, or how it was originally thought of. Okay? Now, on this portion, which we're getting ready to get into, this aspect is going to tie together the holistic view.
I have a quick question before you go further. The Hebrew dialect that was spoken by Ham, would this have been the same dialect that Shem and Japheth as well would have spoken, correct?
So the Bible says before the Tower of Babel, they all spoke one language. And it couldn't have been Hebrew.
So that would have been the language of...
Well, it couldn't have been Hebrew because there was no Hebrews on the planet yet. Hebrews don't come around until after Heber.
That language was... So Hebrew would have come after the Tower of Babel.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, let's think about it for a minute. In the Bible, the Bible says that the people named the lands after themselves. So for you to have a language, okay, it would be after you. So once see people name the lands after themselves, the land of Ham, okay, the Bible talks about the land of Ham, and that's all his descendants. In particular, it talks about Canaan, and that's the one we're referring to. So the Canaan were what the Bible calls the Canaanites. Okay? And now when we're talking about the time, the first time we hear about a Hebrew is when we read about Abraham. It's called Abraham the Hebrew. Now, if we go back through the Bible, prior to that, through the lineage of Shem, as you go through that lineage, you'll find a person whose name is Heber. If in the King James, I think they dropped the H and they started with an E. Now, some other translations have the H in it. So it's Heber, which was the first Hebrew. And through him, that's where Abraham became a Hebrew. So, yes, we're talking about way after the flood. So, yes, there was no way. Now, if you read Babylonian Talmuds, and if you read many, Christian literature and the Eurocentric viewpoint, especially the Jewish language, or the Jewish, they'll tell you, one guy told me point blank, that you know that they spoke in the Garden of Eden Hebrew? How could they speak Hebrew when there was no Hebrews on the planet?
No,
you don't even make sense. But he said, listen, you're not even supposed to think like that, bro. Did you hear what I said? That's the law, man. I'm God. They're like the voice of God. And that's what the brother's like, I'm like an idiot or something, you know. And so I mean, here we had the discussion. Now this guy is a scribe. Now he's much older than me. He fixes the Old Testament text. That means if there's a little J or jot or tittle, he fixes them. So he knows the book inside out. So I mean, I'm talking to a brother.
And
we ain't talking about those. Right. So when we were talking about it. Right, so that's what they believe, and that's what he was teaching. Matter of fact, and he was mentioning that, you know, that the language that everybody spoke at the Tower of Babel before it all got confused was Hebrew. And I'm saying, listen, this is what you guys are doing. Y'all have put yourselves in a place where you didn't exist, and that's what Josephus says. Josephus, in his books, he writes and says that the Greeks, or what we call them today the Europeans, have rewritten history, and they have made a mutation. And that's what this is. This history and all this stuff is a mutation. It's not real. It's not one from one thing. But, and they put themselves, injected themselves in history and in time when they did not exist. And so that's when somebody tells you that, you know, these European Jews and all of these people, they go back, and you can go all the way back to Abraham, so that means that these European Jews was in the Garden of Eden. That's what they're trying to put in your mind. And that's why they spoke Hebrew. And we are the only ones that have kept with Yahweh all the way up to 6,000 years later. And I'm saying, listen, brother, first of all, you wasn't on the planet. Second of all, ain't no way there was no Hebrews. I mean, you're just right. And so, but this is what people will say, and they say, wait a minute, brother, how dare you, you know, challenge somebody like that? Don't you know? Yeah, don't I know what?
He's a scholar, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, right. An authorization scholar. See, you got to be authorized.
See,
I'm a scholar, but hey, you're not an authorized scholar. See, to be authorized, you black.
That goes right back to what you were saying. But that goes right back to what you just said about the whole accreditation and curriculum through the institutions, because once people get to these certain levels, they almost consider themselves as a god. Like, you go against what I say? What?
Yeah, what degree, what school did you go to? What degree do you have?
I remember when I was in college, and this was right after I had was still learning the truth about Catholicism and the Pope and all those other different things. And I decided, hey, I used to sing in the choir, and they had voted me in as chaplain. And I said, oh, boy, this is when I was really, really getting into studying Daniel and Revelation, and I was so excited about it that I wanted to share what I was learning with other folks in the choir. And so I said, hey, you know, I'm starting a Daniel Revelation Bible study. If anyone wants to come and join me, feel free. And I had several people come up to me and say, you're not authorized to teach from Daniel Revelation. And I said, what do you mean? Well, those books are so deep. That's something that I feel as though a pastor should lead out on something like that. And I couldn't, I was just like, it's another book in the Bible that we should all read and learn and study, so why should that only be reserved to the pastors, which most of the pastors weren't touching, so I never quite got, you know, able to put that together, but it's along the same lines, you know, people are placed on different pedestals, and they almost become untouchable, and so whatever they say, and of course if people don't go back and study to figure out, okay, is what this person saying the truth? They just take it in. And it's the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. I just wanted to
Problem. I want to get one more point in before we conclude this section and move to the next section. Mm-hmm. I remember when I had my book, People of Color in the Bible, when it first came out. Some people said, hey, you need to send that over to Howard University. There's a guy who's the number one scholar on people of color in the Bible, Dr. Felder. He wrote the editing of the book, African Heritage Study Bible. Excellent book. Excellent Bible. Excellent. Excellent. I mean, that book, that Bible is deep. So anyway, I had called him and told him, hey, someone asked me that you're the number one, you know, scholar on this. He said, yes. I said, okay. I said, I would like to send you my book. I want to get your opinion and what you think about it.
Wow.
And he said, okay, no problem. And the first question he says, how many classes have you taken in theology? I said, none.
Wow.
He said, well, wait a minute. Why do you even think that you could write a book on a subject that you've never been to school on? And I just, the Holy Spirit just gave it back to me real easy. It's like, well, my brother, I thought the Bible said that he will guide us into all truth. Am I right? Is that what this book says, my brother? And he's like, he said, listen, man, first of all, I heard that line many times before. He said, I heard that line many times before. Now, and I agree with him. I mean, a lot of people that say, yes, the Holy Spirit told me, and it ain't got nothing. And he said, I haven't heard this line before. I said, okay, no problem. And I said, will you look at it? He said, yeah. He said, he'll take a look at it. And then he read it, and I called him back in a week or a month or something like that, just to see how. And he said, listen, I want 30 books. I said, wait a minute. Maybe I'm talking to the wrong person. Now, aren't you the guy that asked me that, you know, how dare I write a book on a subject? And he said, his response was, well, wait a minute, bro. Listen, forget all that, man. I don't want to hear that. These 30 books. I said, all right. So this stuff the Bible teaches that says, you know, he can lead and guide us in all truth is real. Yeah, I agree. There's no question about that. Give me 30 books, man. And I just, so the whole bottom line was, and he's one of my main, you know, people that push my book. I mean, he pushes my book at every church he goes to. If children books, the video, hey, he just pushed me. He said, listen, man, everybody needs this book, man. I mean, what you got? He said, I don't know anything. He said, the reason why I like your book, and your book is unique. You go through things and logically move. You don't just come up and throw some, you know, some flake out there. You know, you're not just throwing some, you know, you said this and that's it. No, you are logically using scripture to explain scripture, and it's like a logical sequence. And people don't write like that. At least we in the theology school, we don't write like that. And he said, that's why I like your book. Your book is, like, logical. And I said, well, listen, man, I'm an engineer. I'm an engineer if it doesn't make sense, if 1 and 1 don't equal 2, I can't say it equals 15 like you guys. And so I just remember.
The other thing, too, is most books that are published, you know, there's a lot of references to other writers. Even with, you know, books that are supposedly based on the Bible, most of the references are still made to other writers. Because even the person who's writing the book still feels as though, well, these references to these other scholars will make my book all the more authentic, if I'm using the right word.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that's what happens.
Well, that's how they've been trained. They've been trained to quote each other.
Not to say that there's anything wrong, with, you know, referring to someone's book or something like that. But I just feel as though if you're writing something and it's based on scripture, then that's where the references should come from.
Oh yeah.
Me, I don't know, but
okay. So what we're gonna do is take a 5 minute break around here, and we're gonna try to upload the other one. Whoever wants to stay on the line is fine.
Okay.
But I'm going to stop the recording and start to upload it. All right, hold on a minute.
Okay.